multidimensional fractal of consciousness currently expressing itself as a human being in the most authentic way that we can imagine. Always remember, take only what resonates and leave the rest. Welcome to Mental Magic. Alrighty, so today we are going to dig into the wonderful, magical land of magical thinking in the purple layer of consciousness. So if you listened to the previous episode about the beige layer of consciousness, you know that in the beige layer, the human being is totally focused on getting their basic needs met. And as humans go through the transition between the beige layer and into the purple layer, this is what is known as the end of the infancy phase of human development. So as the beige layer begins to recede and the purple layer begins to come online, this is where the human brain is making additional connections to help the human understand the external world that they have found themselves living within. So researchers have determined that in about 50,000 BCE to about 8,000 BCE, this dimension of reality was online for a majority of the humans operating on the planet. And what this way of thinking produced was clans and tribes of people banded together who had a new awareness of not only their existence, but the existence of other people around them. And because they began to become aware of their connection to their mother and their father and their ancestors and all of the people who were within their inner circle, they began to form emotional attachments, which eventually evolves into a deep love and care and reverence for the people who are a part of your tribe. And so in the early times of humanity operating from this layer of consciousness, we had groups of people organizing themselves around chiefs as well as around the specially gifted people who had access to communicating with the immaterial world. So the chief or the chieftain of the tribes or clans were the people who were essentially seen as the one who would collect the ideas, opinions, and input from the council of elders as well as the community of members of the tribe and come to some kind of consensus around how decisions would be made. But you also had what was either considered to be the shaman, the medicine person, the witch, or the oracle of the tribe. These were the people that held most of the power because the emphasis in the purple layer of consciousness is the human's relationship with the nature of the environment around us, which is animated by the spirits that are living within everything around us. So the water has spirits and the air has spirits, fire and earth, right? You get the human connection to the four elements, as well as the human connection to the immaterial, mystical world of spirits that are disincarnate. So this is where you get your different gods, your different understandings of angels, of demons, of omens, and of curses, and blessings. When you are in the purple layer of consciousness, your mind is cognitively working to understand the impact of cause and effect within your everyday reality. So when this layer of consciousness first came online back in the Stone Age through the Neolithic era, the people's minds began to be able to form ideas and concepts in a symbolic way of thinking. So telling stories and having parables and histories, narratives, superstitions, and conspiracies. So humans then began to be able to develop their own language and to be able to tell the story of their ancestors, the story of the spirits. They began to build oral histories and set up rituals, practices, routines, ceremonies, and traditions to help the tribe or the clan stay connected and in right relationship with the spirits of nature and the disincarnate spirits that were having a major impact on their well-being. And this is also where the practice of art and music and dance began to become the way that we remembered the stories of our people. We also, at that time, had beliefs that whenever someone passed away, they would just be joining the League of Ancestors that were guiding us from the other realms or from the other side of life. So for me, when I think about this layer of consciousness, I think we get an extraordinarily beautiful picture of what it may have looked like or felt like when we look at some movies that depict this way of living in harmony with nature, in harmony with spirits, in harmony with the small group of people that we are existing in. I think a lot about like Disney movies or sci-fi movies. So you have Avatar, right? Where the people in the movie are solely living off of the land. And if you think about the most recent Avatar movie, the Sully family, their family motto was the Sullys stick together. That is primo purple programming. Or you have Wakanda, where the Wakandan people have such a rich purple community, where they have their council of elders, they have their Black Panther, who is their spiritual force, who in order to become the Black Panther, they have to go through a ritual of consuming an herb from the earth, and then they go into the spiritual plane where they commune with their ancestors to receive this knowledge and power about how to determine how they are going to protect the tribe of Wakandans that they have been charged with looking after. So we see these echoes within the movies and within the stories that aren't just for children. We, every single human being, as we are developing our own consciousness, we are either developing a connection with the people who raised us, or we are going to continue to search for that connection if our primary initial, I would say, team of humans who were charged with taking care of us didn't have the ability to meet our needs for developing these kind of strong family bonds. So research has showed that if a child doesn't have these strong connections to their family or to some kind of chosen family, a surrogate family, it increases their chances of either joining a gang later in life, joining some kind of cult, or even getting in fragile marriages where the person is constantly seeking belonging and connection and love from other human beings. The way I look at the purple layer when it comes to our connections with others, this layer informs how we bond and how we attach to others. So when we think about the different attachment styles, from secure attachment to anxious attachment, avoidant, and then the chaotic attachment, we are essentially within the purple realm of thinking. And based on the engagement that you had with your caregivers growing up, that will signal your brain to program your mind to believe that this is how human relationships are going to unfold for me into the future. And now we all know, with all of the psychology and therapy that's out today, that those of us who don't have a secure attachment style, there are so many ways that we can help ourselves become more interdependent with the community of people that we love. But we first must become aware of the ways in which we are either anxious, avoidant, or chaotic, which is a beautiful combination of them both. So going back to the early development of a child and in your childhood, this is likely the time in your life where if and when your purple layer is being supported, nurtured, and encouraged, your imagination is thriving. If you think, I mean, for me personally, I had a very flourishing relationship with imaginary friends. You know, you talk to your stuffed animals, you play with toys, and you animate. You're essentially animating the inanimate aspects of your reality. So when our ancestors were operating from this layer of consciousness, they were what's called animistic. So they believed that if the volcano erupted, it was because the gods were upset with them, or if the rains didn't come, it was because they didn't do their ritual the correct way. And so in modern times, we have very similar customs, very similar stories that we tell our children. We tell our children that we have to set out cookies and milk in order for Santa to be able to be nourished while he's delivering toys. Or we have stories about boogeymen who live under the beds or in closets. And we encourage our children to follow our customs and our traditions and our celebrations of our holidays based on stories like nursery rhymes. We have Mother Goose, Brothers Grimm, Disney stories, which is a huge influence now, Sesame Street, Nickelodeon Channel, Cartoon Network. All of this programming is being input into the child's consciousness. And based on all of the programs that they are receiving from their family, as well as the media and the external world surrounding them, they are forming an idea of what it means for them to be human in the community of people that they are living within. Now, because the primary need of any human who is transitioning through or operating from the purple layer of consciousness is to establish safety and security within their inner circle or the group of people that they are predominantly surrounded by, they will develop a very strong sense of in-group and out-group. The idea is for you to determine who is part of my group and who is the enemy, because the whole goal is to make sure that the people that are a part of your in-group are safe and you have very little concern for the safety of anyone outside of that in-group. So this is where you first start to understand what it means to be part of your ethnic group or your racial group or your gender group. It is in the purple layer of consciousness that we have the potential, when this layer is in fear or unhealthy, to develop racism against other groups of people who just look different than you. We have the ability to develop ideas of sexism against people who don't share the same body parts as you, as well as all of the other isms, the ways that we separate ourselves from other groups of people who don't operate the way that we do, who don't have the same customs, traditions, beliefs, ideas the way that we do. In this layer, in an unhealthy way, we can become extremely isolated within our own in-group, as well as extremely violent towards those who are not part of our group. So when we are looking at, like, in business organizations today, there's still the existence of boys clubs or girls networks, you know, girl power and ideas of the patriarchy. All of these programs are fundamentally laid in the purple dimension of reality. So in order to reorient and restructure these programs, we have to understand that at the core of human consciousness, these ideas of these in-groups were formed in order for the human to feel safe. So it's not necessarily true that because someone is part of a boys' club that they are inherently a bad person, or that they are automatically women bashing misogynists. What it means is that that person feels safest when they are surrounded by people who look like them and who think like them. And so the solution here is to introduce that person to others who are outside their comfort zone and reinforce their safety with the people who don't look like them or people who don't think like them. And so once again, I believe that understanding how human consciousness evolves allows us to cognitively understand how some people are operating. And once we are able to grasp that some people are just operating from what we perceive as ignorance out of a core need for safety, I think that gives us a beautiful invitation to be able to offer more grace and to have more patience with people as they are having to grapple with the ways that the world is essentially pressuring them or asking them to think in a more complicated way than they may even be ready for. So another interesting thing to note that on the purple layer of consciousness, as I said, people tend to be very connected to the natural world as well as the spiritual elements of the natural world. So when it comes to the idea of healing the human body, from this layer of consciousness, humans will be very focused on natural remedies, herbal tinctures, acupuncture, natural traditional medicines that come from the earth. They will be more interested in performing some kinds of rituals or dances or prayer ceremonies, praying to their gods or to the spirits to help them heal their bodies or heal the bodies of their loved ones. Now, while this dimension of reality sounds very magical, because it is, it's a layer that I think we as, you know, quote unquote, civilized Western thinking human beings, we tend to diminish a lot of the practices and customs and traditions of the purple layer of consciousness in favor of our more expanded ways of thinking once we, you know, hit like the orange layer. But I will emphasize, and I'll be talking at much greater length about why it's so important that we don't disassociate ourselves from our purple thinking and the purple ways of our ancestors, because whether we are conscious of it or not, this way of thinking has completely permeated and is part of the foundation of what it means for you to be human. So if you have ever found yourself knocking on wood or throwing salt over your shoulder or carrying around a lucky rabbit foot, wearing, you know, lucky socks or lucky headband during a sports game, if you wear a wedding ring or celebrate any kind of holiday, these are all purple practices that have been infused into our everyday lives. If you look at the foundational mythology, parables, and stories at the heart of most religions, you're going to find a very similar purple story. You're going to find evidence of a flood story. You're going to find evidence of celebrations and rituals around the astrological moon cycles. You're also going to find different beliefs and ways that we honor and celebrate the life of those who have passed on. So in some traditions, you have the celebration of the Dia de los Muertos, or you have elaborate funeral processions. Like, I'm thinking of the celebrations in African cultures where it literally is a huge celebration when someone passes to cross over to commune with the ancestors after having an experience as a human being. I know in the West, our funeral practices are very different from how our ancestors used to celebrate the life of those who have lived and have moved on. But there are still elements and traditions that we are carrying with us that are echoes of the past. So as you are thinking about your own experience and whatever traditions, customs, celebrations, rituals that you practice that allows you to be connected to the world that is outside of you, whether you believe in God or gods or your ancestors or in nature or in just the collective community of human beings, we will always have some kind of connection to this purple realm where our right brain thinking is online and we are able to imagine and create stories about the nature of what it means for us to be human. And so as time passes, as you mature and grow and find safety and security within your in-group, or if you find that your in-group is not safe for you, you may proceed into the next layer of consciousness. So the next layer is the red layer. And as you are transitioning out of the purple layer into red, This is where you begin to realize as you have greater exposure to the world around you. So instead of just having your intense in-group thinking, you begin to become exposed to other people who look differently than you, or other genders, or other sexualities, or other ways of thinking, people who celebrate different traditions or religions. You may begin to realize that some of the stories and fables that you were taught within your in-group may not be the only story, and that there could be more to the idea of what it could mean for you to be a human. Additionally, because the next layer of consciousness is the awakening of your ego, you're going to begin to think about how you can stand out in your in-group. The idea of competition is going to come online as you are seeking individual power and resources for yourself. So as I mentioned in the initial intro to Spiral Dynamics episode, the purple layer of consciousness is the first we, us, our collective dimension of reality. But when you move into the next layer, it is focused on the I, me, mine red layer, where your ego comes online, and now you're once again focused on how do I gain personal autonomy, and you also begin to question the validity of what you have been told in the purple layer. So when I was talking about the disassociation that many people have done from the purple layer of consciousness, that disassociation or rejection begins to percolate in the red layer, where you're realizing that maybe some of the stories or fables or mythology that you were told by your parents or by your elders is not the whole story. And you may also have ideas that maybe the spirits aren't as powerful as you have been taught that they are, and maybe you have some ability to influence how the spirits move in the world. When we move into the next layer of consciousness in the next episode, I'll talk about how our idea of the spiritual realm, our idea of God or gods, changes when we are no longer operating from the belief that the spirits are the ones who are taking care of us, and we start to believe that maybe we have some more direct impact and control around what it means for us to be human and how we can move on the planet. So I'll see you in the next episode, where we talk about what it looks like for a human to develop an ego. Thanks for listening.